The Inside Track on News Talk.
Now, a lot of people are having a big debate at the moment within the household, and that debate is, should we stay or should we go? To quote the old Clash song, should you stay and have a staycation, take a holiday on the West Coast or in the Midlands or up Northwest, wherever you want to go, or should you look to foreign shores, which, of course, in the light of the conflict in Iran, is it more dangerous? Is it more expensive because of jet fuel, rising costs of jet kerosene and so on? All of these issues being discussed around the kitchen table right now. And I've two veteran observers of the travel scene. I've Owen Corry, who is the editor of TravelExtra.ie, on the phone. I also have here in studio Paul Hackett, who's the CEO of Click and Go Holidays and a director of Irish Travel Agents Association, to, I suppose, hash out the pros and cons on either side. Owen, if I can come to you first, a lot of people, I suppose, think of no air travel, less luggage, the handiness and convenience of a staycation. But my initial reaction is, you know, value getting here in Ireland ain't easy either.
Well, there's a couple of things. I mean, the price of holidays, really, you can always be certain that staying at home is going to be cheaper. People say, oh, yeah, I went to Spain or Portugal. Of course, we got this lovely meal and we got our wine and everything a little bit cheaper. But the access cost and getting out there and the extra costs getting around, that really tends to drive it higher. So while we're very good at saying home holidays are expensive and we're not a cheap destination, it's always cheaper to stay at home. You'll always find something at home. But we are also going. We're going in massive numbers. The busiest day in the entire history of Dublin Airport since it opened in 1941 was yesterday. 131,000 passengers through the airport. And that shows the level of demand there is for international travel at the moment. What I see happening amid all the uncertainty is a lot of debate and a lot of holding off on bookings. But certainly the will to travel is still there, and the will to take more holidays. I suspect we're actually taking a series of short breaks in greater numbers in the place of the one long break, or maybe the one short break that we would have taken in recent years.
Now, when we talk about staycations, sometimes we have a bit of a partitionist mentality. We cut out Northern Ireland out of our discussion entirely, and even places like Scotland, Wales and England as well. So do you think even when people go overseas, they might stay closer, whether that's England, the UK or France even?
Absolutely. A tourist doesn't see a border. The price in Northern Ireland depends really on the currency differential. It has been in recent years that you could get a very, very good five-star break for the cost of a four or three-star break elsewhere. But that isn't just a difference between the 26 and the 6. You also see that north of a divide, a line between Dublin and Galway, you will get better value in Donegal than you will in Kerry. And the reason is 80% of the travel of the tourist breaks that are taken on the Wild Atlantic Way or south of Galway, only 20% north of Galway. So where the demand is, tourism is a very raw product. You don't put your seats or your beds in the freezer and sell them on Monday. Where the demand is, the price will spike. It'll spike at particular times of the year. You can also swoop at the end of February and get a terrific break in, for instance, Ashford Castle, which may be the more, or Adare, the more expensive hotels. But it tends to go region to region, tends to go weekend to weekend, very much what is called dynamic pricing. It's people that book Ryanair would be very familiar with it. And that makes making a call and the overall holiday business a little bit more difficult. But there are a couple of observations, and I'm sure Paul will have them as well, about this summer.
Yeah,
because we're booking shorter. Sure. There's no doubt our lead-in between booking time and travel time has got back to very, very short. It was very short immediately post-pandemic. It's headed back that direction.
Ireland is also in a peculiar situation where, as you mentioned, regions there, all these tourist regions are essentially competing with each other.
Which makes no sense.
Yeah, so you've got people saying, come to the Ancient East, come to the Wild Atlantic Way, come to...
And if you drive into Monaghan or Cavan, yeah, you're invited into Ireland's Ancient East. I mean, the regions were, they're a bureaucratic device. They make absolutely no sense, even though they've lovely brown signs, say, welcoming you to a particular region, the Hidden Heartlands, what Oliver Callan calls the wet middle of Ireland. They all make no sense to tourists. The tourist is really only interested in the product, where they're staying, what there is to see in that region. Some regions are better provided than others. Obviously, the West is our jewel in our crown, both for international travel and for home holiday. We have a big problem we've created ourselves with the self-catering industry this summer, which meant that a lot of the self-catering operators didn't know whether they were able to operate during the summer. But more or less, there's a shape in the summer which makes it look quite good, and we're very, very strong inbound from America in particular.
Yeah, I suppose we'll have to see that the American volumes stay up because of Iran. We'll leave that. Listen, stay there for the moment, Owen. I'll come on to our other guest who's in studio. He's Paul Hackett of Click and Go. Now, Paul, you've got this whole staycation thing, which on one level is great for all of us, as in people who live on this island, because that money gets recirculated. Mm. People are employed in hotels and B&Bs and all the rest. But equally, you're pushing, and your day-to-day job is overseas holidays. So do you look upon the staycation as, well, we don't want people going on too many staycations here?
Look, like, Ireland is a wonderful country to holiday in. We all love it. And as Owen has articulated, there are just so many great places to go. I think there's room for both the staycation and the foreign holiday. Obviously, all of that predisposes people having the disposable income to be able to afford one or other or both. And I think we're very good at accommodating when we want to have a break in Ireland, because it might be with friends, with family, a larger group, wedding, some event, something happening, and when we want to go abroad.
Yeah, because I look at the state of the world at the moment, which is highly unstable. You've had a lot of war, not just in Iran, but in the surrounding region. So a lot of Irish people go to parts of the Middle East. Dubai was immensely popular for a long period of time. Maybe it's not as popular. You've got places like Cuba that are in absolute disarray in every way. So is this the summer of just playing it a bit more cautious, going to nearby Europe? I mean, what do you think?
I think definitely the Mediterranean destinations, Spain, Portugal, Italy, France, Greece, all of those destinations are doing pretty well, and they will do well. And yes, you're quite right. There is some instability. There always is. There's always going to be some part of the world where there is some issue going on. Very few tourists currently holiday in Cuba. Most tourists who were using the Middle East as a hub were using it to access Australia, New Zealand, the Philippines and India. And those flights are operating. All of the Middle Eastern airlines, all of the likes of Qatar, Emirates, Etihad, are almost back to 70 to 80% of their schedule currently. So passengers are using those flights. Nobody is really going to Dubai at the moment in terms of staying there, unless it's visiting friends and relatives. So the holiday market for that destination is low.
So but all those people, are they going to go somewhere else then?
Absolutely.
So that's where your Greeces come in, your Italy's and so on.
Yeah. They're going to look to European destinations, Caribbean destinations, good beach destinations. But I think Owen is right. This year, and that level of instability that you're talking about, Emmett, has created a bit of a lull in where people are booking. So it has got people like you cautious about what they're going to do, cautious with their plans. But that market is coming back. Look, we had some very nice weather last week. And one of the reasons we sometimes overlook a staycation is because we have the weather, and look at 1st of June and look at the weather today.
I saw Michael O'Leary's interview a few weeks ago, and he said, yes, the bookings are holding up well for early summer, but there's huge caution about September, that late summer period. Is that what you're finding as well?
Exactly. And I think that's totally normal. I would expect any consumer, when they're slightly uncertain as to what's going to happen, to hold back. So what we have seen in the last month is a very strong booking period for very short in. So people last week were booking for next week and the following week and into June, and there's still plenty of capacity. The positive side out of something like this, where there's been a hold off in consumers booking, is that the value is there. So, you know, the media hysteria over no jet fuel, over flight surcharges, over prices going up, none of that has materialized.
But hang on a second. I know you're saying it's hyped by the media, which always gets my hackles up, but the airlines have to get back some of this extra higher fuel. They have to get it somewhere. So maybe they won't put a surcharge on the first part of the summer. Maybe it'll come on in the second part, or maybe it'll be in the winter. But it has to come at some point, right?
The reality is, when you buy your flight with Aer Lingus or Ryanair, you're buying and paying for your ticket in full. There is no facility for them to surcharge you. That's a fact. If you haven't paid in full for your flight, you have the option for surcharge. If you've paid and purchased your flight, there has been no history ever of them doing that. If you're going,
no, but what I mean is they've all hedged their fuel, right, to a certain, mainly about 70%, give or take. They will roll off those hedges at some point. Maybe it's next year. Maybe it's next year.
Yes.
And then they'll be hit by the much higher, more elevated fuel that they've to buy. They have to recover that cost somewhere. Now, maybe they cut costs within their own operations or something, but they have to do it.
I think if fuel prices stay high, prices in the future will be higher. but prices currently are not because they've hedged. So no prices have increased, no surcharges have been implemented, no jet fuel supplies have been impacted. So yes, the stories were there and the stories have not come to reflect the reality of the situation. And thankfully, the consumer is coming back into the market now and recognising that there's value for money there and they're getting into their travel agent and getting holidays booked.
Owen, let's come on to that issue that Paul is talking about, fuel. Do you think it is a case of you actually should go this summer because your holiday next summer is going to be a lot more expensive?
The long terms aren't indicating that. The share prices of the airlines aren't down, and the future price for oil, but the guys in the braces, you know, to they're looking fairly cheap for January, February, almost back to the January, February 2025 levels. What the whole aviation world is looking at in the Gulf is saying that it's not going to last very long, that at some stage Iran won't have the resources to pursue a long war, and that's the way the prices are looking for next summer. They're already, airlines are buying next year's price at January, February prices, next year's oil at January, February prices. No real long-term disruption out of this. Now, that said, it's gone on a little bit longer than anyone
has very little expected. Prospect of being sold, I'm afraid to say, of this afternoon.
You know, the solution is beyond what we can talk about in the studio.
I want to say, I'm only a travel journalist. Take it easy there, Emmett. Come on.
No, but just back to the travel journalists, something very interesting has happened with those Gulf flights. They're all open. They're back. We lost 46% of the capacity, but one by one, they're getting back. The airlines are getting back. Emirates led the charge, followed by Etihad, followed by Qatar. And there is this advisory against travelling through Dubai, Abu Dhabi and Doha, which affects travel insurance. It's still a no-no as far as the Department of Foreign Affairs are concerned. The impact of that is that you're looking at amazing hotel prices in Dubai, stuff like $20 for stuff that used to, or 20 euro that used to cost 200. And you're also looking at very, very good fares onto Australia, places like that. So all of the disruption, and on the other side, the short booking that Paul is alluding to there, people are booking 14 days, 10 days before they travel. That has led to things like seat sales by the airlines. Mm. So while everybody's talking about Ryanair, they're well hedged, very clever, 80% of their oil bought, it still means their 20% is more expensive. But instead of being able to charge more for it, they're actually having to reduce prices and drop some of their August and September.
Fortune, so terrific. What you're saying is fortune favours the brave if you're prepared to brave.
Consumer is winning that battle this summer.
Listen, we'll have to leave it there. Owen Corrie is the editor of TravelExtra.ie. And here in studio, good to talk to him again. Paul Hackett is the CEO of Click & Go Holidays. Thank you very much for coming in as well.
The Inside Track. This is News Talk.